Hello, my name is Molly, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of freedom, peace, health, wellness, and sustainability. Views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, we're very fortunate to be joined by Bruce Andrew Peters, who's joining us via Skype from Washington, D.C.
You know, I flew as a pilot for 30 years, and I started in hang gliders at age 13 and then progressed to sailplanes or gliders when I was 14 or 15. By the time I was 16, I was flying single-engine airplanes, and when I got into my early 20s, I was flying ultralight airplanes and then became an ultralight instructor and an advanced instructor, which I did for 18 years, and I did that full-time. So I was either flying in the Flying Circus Air Show in Bealeton, Virginia, or teaching people how to fly or teaching instructors how to teach. And so I'm very comfortable flying airplanes, and I've flown a lot of different kinds and done aerobatics and all that.
Bruce Andrew Peters is an award-winning photojournalist whose work is featured by the Los Angeles Times Syndicate, Aviation Week and Space Technology Magazine, Transport Topics Magazine, Feedo Friendly Magazine, United Poultry Concerns Poultry Press, the Winnipeg Free Press, and countless other magazines and newspapers over four decades. Peters uses his photography and writing to raise awareness and appreciation of other species who, to humans, are often out of sight, out of mind. Nature is his muse. Three of his most recent books, Woodland Poetry and Photography, Yes, Dear, and the humorous Words, Just Words, are animal-centric and reflect the world from the perspective of non-humans. A vegan for decades, Peters says, quote, "It's much easier on the mind and body to be allied with animals than adversaries. Going vegan is the best thing I ever did," end quote. Welcome, Bruce, and thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Hello, Marlene. It's very nice to be with you today.
Thank you so much. And I'd love to hear a bit about Words, Just Words.
Words, Just Words, which can be found on wordsjustwords.com, is about everyday language that we use that often makes no sense. And it covers a lot of vegan-themed topics in diet and animals chapters. And I'll give you an example. Hunting has been a term that was used for many years, but the act of killing an animal is never referred to as killing. What they say, especially in the media, is the person tagged, bagged, managed, downed, called, claimed, carried off, croaked, put away, fell, dispatched, dead in, thinning the herd, species eradication, harvesting, population management, and the always compassionate euthanize. And on a similar subject, we have slaughterhouses, and they don't kill either. What they do is they will render the animals. Animals aren't mentioned because it's called a rendering plant, not an animal rendering plant, but a rendering plant. They will process, and the industry coin term now is to call it a protein plant. And the media was willing to go along with this without any question whatsoever for years. And whenever there was news about bacteria contamination in one of these slaughterhouses, the media never called it a slaughterhouse. And it's no surprise they didn't, because the media is sponsored by animal agriculture or related industries like fast food restaurants. And they're also sponsored by Big Pharma, which creates medicine to treat diseases caused by consuming animals, be it for a kidney, liver, or heart disease. And or cancer. And so right now the advertising, which is bankrolling CNN and all the major networks, is from these two industries. But recently, there was a story, and this is like maybe a week or two ago, about children working in slaughterhouses, cleaning the slaughterhouses, and the media was outraged. And for once in the law, as far back as I can remember, they called a slaughterhouse a slaughterhouse. And they went on to say that children have no business working in slaughterhouses because there are dismembered animals, there's body parts, and blood. And I thought, well, it's great that they finally have come this far, but guess what? They forgot to mention that animals don't have any business in slaughterhouses either. So hopefully they'll make that connection.
Thank you, Bruce. And that reminds me, a couple weeks ago, I read an article about a fire in Connecticut, and it was at an egg facility. And the article reported no injuries were reported, and yet over 100,000 females suffered and died in the fire. And they didn't even mention the hens at all. And so I thought, they don't want people to make the connection to become compassionate. Just keep consuming eggs. It was so clear.
They do the same thing when there's flooding and the animals are trapped in the buildings and can't get out. They do the exact same thing. And, you know, the media's a willing enabler. Because they could have easily said, now what about all those chickens that are in that building? But they chose not to. And it's obvious. These are, you know, that was what brought about Words Just Words. You know, in the introduction, if you go on the webpage, you can preview the book. And so you can see, I mean, that's in the introduction. There's deliberate omissions.
Okay, good. You know? They didn't even mention the word hen or chicken at all.
Well, it's commodification. You know, we call pigs pork. We call cows beef. We call chicken poultry. And they probably legally made and I'm sure they ran it by their corporate counsel, they made a legally correct statement. No fatalities or injuries were reported, or maybe no injuries to humans were reported, a speciesist statement, because they forgot to mention the chickens. But they said eggs because eggs are a product. You know, people are thinking about where am I going to get my eggs now, not what happened to the chickens. So they threaded the needle there, but it was certainly deceptive and deliberately so.
Mm-hmm. This is the Chicken Song by Will Tuttle. At the start of the program, we heard the Deer Song, D-E-E-R. Bruce, I'd love to hear about your other two books, starting with Woodland, Poetry and Photography, and then Yes, Dear.
And Woodland Poetry is about things that come to mind while walking in the woods. And the first poem I did was Spiritual Path. Spiritual Path was about, you know, the experience of hiking and also looking back and looking forward and how you do the same hike again. And you have a different experience, and you know, the sun was shining down. We're walking along around these boulders that are, you know, 30 feet high, and the pine fragrance is wafting through the air. So to me, being in the woods and being around wildlife is a spiritual experience. And so these words came to mind. I wrote them down. I created the poem, and I shared it with a friend of mine who's an editor of an outdoors magazine. And he wrote me back and he said, Bruce, this is great. I love it. So I continued to do this as I ventured into the woods. And I thought about the plight of bears, you know, being intruded upon by visitors and how people, you know, might chase after bears to take their photo or maybe hunt them, as we discussed in Little Bear Cub, that poem. And so how this all is, the human interaction, the spiritual experience of being in the woods, the discussions about nature. And so that's what Woodland Poetry, which is on woodlandpoetry.com, discusses. And then finally, we have Yes, Dear, which can be found on yesdeerphotography.com. And it's 20 years of photographing deer. And the thing that I cherish most about it is that a video we captured, which is embedded in the book with a QR code, shows a young buck approaching my Pomeranian to play. And it was just a surreal experience, but it goes to show that deer are interested in more than just eating. They have a spiritual and fun-loving side that people rarely see. And I also capture this in a lot of the images in the book.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you. In addition to your books, I know you've written many articles. Let's hear some words about that.
Well, I started out doing travel articles. I enjoy sharing experiences. And because of my experience with photography, I started when I was very young using a Fuji black and white half-frame camera and processing and developing my own film. I had both a compassion for photography and telling a story and bringing other people into a place that they haven't been. So whether it be travel or health, maybe to inform them about certain benefits of certain lifestyles or treatments, you know, the articles have been a central theme for the past 30 years. And I did I've done writing for mainly Washington area magazines and newspapers, but also for the Winnipeg Free Press. I did a story about Fred Turner, the lead vocalist and bassist of Bachman Turner Overdrive. I did a feature article for the Los Angeles Times Syndicate about the benefits of a vegan diet, and the hikers who were featured in the article because they climbed Argentina's highest peak were all diabetic, and they felt that the plant-based diet was the way to go because it worked better for living with diabetes, and also because the food doesn't spoil, it takes much longer to spoil. So those are some of the articles. But it's been an enjoyment of telling a story, sharing an experience, and having the complimenting photographs. You know, my love of visual experiences goes back to flying. And I thought about what is it that I liked about flying? I enjoy the sensations of flight, you know, like doing a tight turn and feeling Preston's the seat, or doing a loop and watching the world go around. But the thing that I enjoyed about flying was taking off out of a field and looking out on my left wing and seeing a Canada goose flying alongside of us. I mean, that was magical. Seeing ducks flying in V formation over the river, or, you know, watching the sunset, watching the day close with darkness as we're coming in for a landing and the lights and the sunset on the horizon or over the river or over the ocean. All these things to me were what I enjoyed the most. And, just the visual experience of the landscape and the scenery made photography as a profession a logical next step, because I was just pursuing what I love, but through a different venue. So, you know, I continue to do photography. I won an award for the Aviation Week and Space Technology Center spread that I did for them. And, it's just something I do. You know, I enjoy doing it. And I've done everything from photographing the Washington Capitals to photos for the American Trucking Association. But my heart is in the woods with the wildlife. You know, there's sometimes when I'm photographing people and I'm thinking, wow, I'd rather be up in Maine photographing moose. <You know? laughs> But that's just, you know, that's where my heart is. It's with the animals.
Beautiful, Bruce. Thank you. Yeah, your photography is beautiful. We're joined by photojournalist Bruce Andrew Peters. You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Bruce Andrew Peters. Welcome back from the break. You tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. We're joined by Bruce Andrew Peters, based in Washington, D.C., a photojournalist and a health advocate. Now I'd like to talk more about health. And I'm very interested to hear about your campaign, your commitment with the support of Dr. Neil Barnard of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine to have a local hospital in the Washington, D.C. area to provide plant-based options for their staff and patients.
Yes, I visited a new hospital for a routine test, and I thought, well, while I'm here, let me go down to the cafeteria and see how that looks. And while everything's sparkling and new, I expected there to be a leading edge type of menu where, you know, it would reflect the benefits of a plant-based diet, and there would at least be a substantive amount of plant-based options. And to my disappointment, I found that the sandwich offerings had eggs, cheese, or meat in them, and they had nothing on the menu for plant-based options. So what I did was I wrote the vice president of the administration for the hospital, and I said, we have these, you know, there's many benefits to offering plant-based diet, plant-based options for your patients as well as your staff. And of course, many of the people who are there are there for illness caused by poor dietary choices, you know, be it heart disease, kidney disease, colorectal cancer, diabetes, you know, type 2 diabetes, or heart disease, you know. So there's a whole bunch of things that could be prevented or mitigated with a healthier diet. And ironically, they didn't have it. So I wrote to the VP of the administration, and Dr. Barnard did a follow-up letter saying that he has staff who are ready, willing, and able to come down and talk with them about offering different options. And so we're working on that right now. And on a similar front, I had a discussion with a sheriff of a neighboring county, and he said, you know, we have a garden for the inmates, and we're plagued with type 2 diabetes. And we discussed the benefits of the plant-based option. So that's something that hopefully, you know, we can pursue further. And, you know, what a windfall it would be if he could say, well, we've been able to eradicate type 2 diabetes and move people on to a healthier life. So we're working on all fronts. You know, there's no limit to the opportunities that present themselves. I mean, it could be as simple as talking to the store manager at your local supermarket and saying, look, I really like this brand of soy milk or tofu or veggie burgers. And, you know, I like this brand because they don't contain eggs or whatever, and kind of move the needle a little bit. And then as more people discover these options, then it becomes more and more mainstream. So, I mean, we're getting there. It's just a matter of, you know, reaching a critical mass. But there's no doubt we'll succeed. It's just, you know, persistence with purpose.
Yes, thank you very much, Bruce. Thank you for all you do. Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the resistance to change in human nature, which is, I think, a big factor in the resistance to the rise of veganism.
Sure. Well, that is the root of the issue right there. You know, it's obviously to our benefit to eat a healthier diet. And the funny thing about veganism is it's not restrictive. It's opening more options. You know, people don't realize that giving up the steaks and hamburgers opens up a whole new world to them. You know, when one door closes, another opens. And a funny example is I was approached by an acquaintance in the supermarket, and she went on to tell me for several minutes about all of her health issues. And so I looked in her cart and I saw bacon and hamburger and things like that. And I pulled out a box of really nice veggie burgers. I said, you might want to try these out. They're, you know, it's just all vegetables. And it's like the same thing that's in your salad is in this veggie burger. And, you know, why don't you give this a try? And her response was, I'll have to research that. And I thought, well, you know, if you research the bacon and the hamburgers and all the other things, the eggs, you'd probably stop eating those. But, you know, you can only go but so far at a time. So the suggestion was made, and, you know, hopefully I planted a seed, and maybe the next time I see her, you know, I'll say, hey, did you ever have a chance to try the veggie burger? So, you know, it's a slow process, but people are afraid of the unknown. And that's the root of the problem. As a pilot, I encountered that all the time. And when people would come out to fly, we flew open cockpit airplanes. So it was a little bit stimulating. You know, there's no inside, it's open. And what I would do is, you know, like a husband and wife would come out, and I'd say to the wife, do you want to go up? And she would say, well, I don't know. And I'd say, tell you what, we're going to fly 10 feet off the runway. And we'll fly from one end to the other. And when we landed after doing that first hop, I would turn the plane around on the taxiway and go back to the, you know, come back toward the hangar, and she'd say, let's go again. And we'd go up and fly at about 800 to 1,000 feet around the pattern and then come back in and land. And she'd go up to her husband and say, that was great. So it just goes to show how people can change once they get over their fear. We all have fear of the unknown, you know. I mean, I remember before going vegan, I had the same question that a lot of people today have, and I've been vegan for about 30 years. And I, you know, I was like, well, how am I going to get protein? Because this is so deeply embedded in our thinking. You know, we're trained from such a young age, and we cling to what we know. I mean, look at, you know, the animal agriculture industry. They want to get people started as young as possible, so that's all they know. So they have toys and other, you know, ruses and get them started with a kid's meal. And then it's all about being indoctrinated into that lifestyle. It's hard for vegans to do the same thing right now. So we're up against a huge industry, an animal agriculture industry that has billions of dollars to spend on public relations and marketing. And what we're doing is a grassroots effort. It's fear of the unknown, but if you can get people to try it, I've always thought, you know, it wouldn't be great just to go to the supermarket and give out free samples and get people to say, oh, yeah, this is really good. And then you say, well, you know, it's right here. And then, you know, move the needle just a little bit. But that's, you know, it's a grassroots effort. It's people knowing people and talking to their friends. And then, you know, they try it and they say, you know, that's really good. Say, oh, this is so delicious. And they actually have more and better options. They just don't know it because they're clinging to what they know.
Mm-hmm. But thanks to you and sharing your skills and activism, the awareness is raising so that we can be living on a planet filled with peace and egalitarianism and nonviolence and health and wellness.
Thank you, Marlene. It's been a pleasure being with you today.
Thank you, Bruce. And what contact information and websites, et cetera, can you share with our listeners?
For those who are interested in the most recent book, Words Just Words, they can visit wordsjustwords.com. For those who like nature and woodland poetry, they can visit woodlandpoetry.com. And for those who love deer, and the book covers 20 years of deer photography, they can visit yesdeerphotography.com. And for more information on my work as a photographer, they can visit Bruce Andrew Peters Photography on Facebook.
Thank you, Bruce, and thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. This has been a great honor and a great pleasure.
It's been my pleasure, too. Thank you, Marlene.
Just the kids in pajamas with the little lambs painted blue and white. Tuck them in with the nursery book of baby bunnies sleeping tight. Salt and pepper shaker cows, oven mitts of chicks and sows, creatures great and small. We love them all.
This is Creatures Great and Small by Ellie Sarti, the founder of Compassion Arts.
Next day, time for a family trip to see the animals in jail. Prisoners all the way from Africa, Alaska, and the Conga Trail. Elephants and pink tutus till they're used as research tools. great and small, we love them all. Lullabies and Bible songs say they are weak, we are strong. As we sing the golden rule, don't do what you don't want done to you. Lunchtime, it's bologna sandwiches in the lunchbox, picturing babe. Hop in, we'll take a carriage horse ride, though it's 90 in the shade. We'll kill two birds with one stone, put our ducks all in a row. Creatures great and small, we love them. Lullabies and Bible songs say they are weak, we are strong. As we sing the golden rule, don't do what you don't want done to you. Dress the kids in pajamas with the little lambs painted blue and white. Tuck them in with the nursery rhyme of cows that jump the moon at night. Monkey see is monkey do, the lambs that follow us to school. Dumb as dogs and big baboons, but the chickens coming home to roost. A living world of fur cartoons to eat or own or wear or use. Creatures great and small, we love them.
I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Much thanks to Bruce Andrew Peters. And let's go out with Ellie Sarti, Creatures Great and Small.
We love them. We love them all. We love them. We love them all. We love them. We love them all. We love them all. We love them all. Thank you.